Los Angeles, City of Homeless, at 6 o'clock on Fox 11, a documentary, and I'll be in it a lot. So you should watch it, record it, view it later if you need to. But it's really good work that they've done over at
Fox 11. I'm sure it's balanced, right? They talk to homeless advocates and...
Oh, yeah, it's a Fox 11 news documentary.
Yes.
Fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced. Yeah, so that's, 6 o'clock till 7:30. Coming up, some great stuff about San Francisco. Charles Barkley took a great shot at the city of San Francisco, and of course he got taunted by Warriors fans because he's picked the Mavericks to win this series, which isn't likely. But anyway, he shot back last night on the air. We have the audio to play. It's pretty funny. And something else is going on up there. You got to hear about it. It may indicate a bit of a turnaround with some of the politicians in that city on big issues like the homeless and defund the police. It's all coming up later on this hour.
We're going to talk with Ed Ring. We've spoken to him before. Ed Ring analyzes everything about water in California.
He's with the California Policy Center, a contributing editor and a senior fellow at the California Policy Center. And he's been writing a series of articles for the California Globe about water abundance, is kind of the way it's phrased, because in his viewpoint and many that he has talked to, it's not about water scarcity.
Much can be done to increase the amount of water that we can use. And instead, Newsom's running around insisting on water rationing. Well, let's get Ed Ring on here. Ed, how are you again?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Lay out your case that there's an abundance and not a scarcity of water in California.
Well, there's an abundance of water in California if we bother to harvest it and process it. There's ways to get millions of acre feet of water from wastewater recycling, millions of acre feet from stormwater capture, and we can also get a lot of water from desalination, hundreds of thousands of acre feet. And when you consider that California cities altogether only use 7 to 8 million acre feet a year, this is something that can be solved. In fact, a lot of the Public Policy Research Institute, which is one of the most reputable expert sources of information on water, claims that on average, 11 million acre feet of what they call surplus water or uncaptured water during storms runs through the Delta, 11 million acre feet in excess of what's necessary for the ecosystems. So if we were capturing some of that water in off-stream reservoirs or diverting that water into spreading basins so it could percolate and recharge aquifers, we could have plenty of water as well for the farms, which they themselves, yeah.
So we're managing our available water very, very badly here. That's the real crime that's going on, is our management is not intelligent.
That's right, because we built some of these tremendous assets back in the 1930s and 40s, and some more in the California Water Project, of course, in the 50s and 60s. And we still in California have one of the most remarkable, plumbing systems of big water interbasin transfers in the world. But it was built for a population that's about half the size of what we've got today in California. And we haven't been investing in water supply infrastructure. All we've been doing is cracking down more and more on farms and cities. And that just can't go on. You can't ration your way to abundance. We have to invest in more water projects.
I understand the existence of these environmental groups, and they get fanatical. They're almost religious in their wishes to deny us our modern life amenities, even water. But what's in it for the government to create a system that doesn't work? I know they get environmentalists yelling at them, but what's in it for the government to just do what needs to be done for the people and ignore the crazies?
Well, that's a really good question. I guess there's a few things. It takes away, if you invest state money in water infrastructure, you're going to be, by their logic, cannibalizing other government programs. So that's part of it. Another part of it is all of the regulatory apparatus that you have to set up to regulate water creates more government programs, but it's sort of the wrong kind of government spending. But I think those are some of the reasons that we see this. There's also, though, you know, politicians supposedly run the government, and politicians are elected by donors. And if you have water scarcity, a lot of businesses thrive. We learned, you know, when we were trying to do this initiative to fund water projects, that some of the largest agribusiness concerns want water scarcity, because with high prices for water, it's going to drive the smaller farms out of business, and they can roll up the and consolidate the industry. We also learned that a lot of hedge funds are betting on expensive water because they're buying land for the water rights, and this is very well documented. And so these are big contributors to political campaigns. So there's pressure from parts of the business community as well to keep water expensive. And look at water utilities; they make money if they make it like electricity. The more they charge, they get a fixed percentage of profits as a regulated utility. So if they are able to charge more for the same amount, they make more absolute profit for their investors.
I've never heard anybody talk about this, about the business forces, the financial forces that want a scarcity of water and how much influence they have on our government.
Well, I think that that's a big factor at work here. We had people that contacted us and said, why on earth would we want why would we want water to be inexpensive? But some of the people that criticized us, it's funny, the Michael Hiltzak, writing for the Los Angeles Times, said that this was a giveaway to agribusiness. And then he turned around about 2 weeks later and wrote about how hedge funds are buying up water property for water rights, and there's going to be a market to trade water futures. And he was warning us. But you can't have it both ways. If you're going to have if you're going to privatize water, what the best way to do that is by making water cost too much. So you would think that the liberals and the big government types would welcome the idea of having the state of California partially subsidize water supply projects, because that would bring the price of water down and it would remove the incentives for people to privatize our water supply.
All right, Edward, can you hang on?
Sure.
Okay. This is Edward Ring we're talking to. He's written a series of articles for CaliforniaGlobe.com about California and water abundance. He's with the California Policy Center, a contributing editor, senior fellow. He co-founded California Policy Center back in 2013 and was its first president. And he's done a lot. It's a long series of articles. You ought to read them if you are really buying into this water scarcity drought thing being sold by Newsom and the rest of his cronies. We'll come back and talk to him because he kind of mentioned it there. There's apparently a ballot measure that they're trying to get out, the Water Infrastructure Funding Act of 2022. We'll talk about what's in it and more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. We continue with Ed Ring, co-founder of the California Policy Center. And he believes that there's a lot of water, an abundance of water in California for us to use if we only built the proper infrastructure to collect it.
And if you want to read his series of stories on this, because they're fascinating, it's CaliforniaGlobe.com where they're appearing. When I left, I said that we wanted to talk when we come back, because the last one he did deals with the hostile media. He had mentioned the wonderful Michael Hiltzik, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the Los Angeles Times, who doesn't like or care too much for Edward Ring's abundance of water theory. And Hiltzik apparently criticizes what's being proposed, a ballot measure, the Water Infrastructure Funding Act of 2022. Can you explain, Ed, what's in there, and should our listeners be interested?
I sure can, but I hope I didn't mislead you, because we did not gather enough signatures to get that on the 2022 ballot. So you may be hopefully talking about a Water Infrastructure Funding Act for 2024. we're waiting to see if the legislature does anything to relieve the situation. But it's very hard to get an initiative onto the ballot. It costs at a minimum $5 million. And there's 186 billionaires living in California, and we didn't call every one of them, but it was, you know, there's a lot of people that ought to be, you know, and of course I'm sort of biased on this matter, but it seems like there's people with the ability to put an initiative on the ballot that could step up and do something like this. You know, where are the billionaires that are going to step up and help fix California when it comes to things like water and energy? But, you know, that could be a little bit of sour grapes. The initiative that we came up with, I think, relied on a lot of ideas from other people that have tried different aspects of it in the past. But our goal was to do something so decisive that if it passed, and it would pass, by the way, after this blistering summer we're about to experience, voters would have voted and approved this measure if we'd gotten it on the ballot. It's funny because right when we were about at a critical point to raise the money we would have needed to qualify this for the ballot, it just poured. I mean, it just rained and rained and rained. And then it didn't rain anymore. So here we are. But it would have allocated 2% of the state general fund every year to invest in increasing California's water supply with water supply projects. And it didn't define the projects. It defined the eligible categories. So the Water Commission could still choose where to put the money, but it would have to be in effect until 5 million acre feet of new water would be getting produced, either yields from off-stream reservoirs or produced from wastewater recycling or desalination plants or aquifer recharge from storm runoff. It didn't matter. They could choose whatever categories they wanted to fund projects as long as they get 5 million acre feet of new water. And that would solve the problem. That would create surpluses in even mild drought years. So there would be plenty of water. There would be water as well for environmental purposes, which I don't think was appreciated nearly enough. But, you know, it's really pretty simple. One of the things, however, was we also revised, and we felt, and we did this very carefully, but we did make reasonable revisions to the Coastal Act and to the California Environmental Quality Act. And those two things, there was three unforgivable sins. One, we included reservoirs as an eligible project. Two, we included desalination as an eligible project. And three, we tried to revise some of these regulations that make it impossible to build anything. It takes millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and decades to get projects approved. You go through the permit process, and by the time you've gone halfway through it, all the rules have changed, and the rules conflict with each other, and there's dozens of agencies that you have to go before, and there's hundreds of environmental organizations willing to litigate. So you can't build anything in California until we fix these regulations.
Does this explain why all those bond measures for water projects have just resulted in very little?
Yes, that's exactly right. There's nothing that's been done for the most important projects approved by voters in 2014. The signature project was the Sites Reservoir. It was supposed to have a storage capacity of 2 million acre feet. It would have had a yield of 500,000 acre feet a year. That's been on the drawing board for 8 years, and over that 8-year period, to appease all of the litigants and to comply with all the rules, they've downsized it now to 1.5 million acre feet. They 1.5 million acre feet. They've also taken out all of the pump storage for all of this renewable
energy. Can I just ask you something? Why do all these litigants? Why are they doing everything they can to limit the amount of water that we can access? What's in it for them, for the state to have less water?
Well, I think a lot of them sincerely believe that anything you do to disrupt the environment is unacceptable. I think a lot of them also believe that a middle-class lifestyle is simply unsustainable. A lot of them believe that we shouldn't have irrigated farmland in the San Joaquin Valley because it's, I'm quoting, because it's a desert. So some of them really believe.
We can't live? What they're saying is we can't grow food? We can't have homes?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to drive to work? What are we allowed to do? I don't really understand this. We're all supposed to die, and they're trying to kill us by cutting off our water.
There's a mentality that human beings are parasites on the planet. I mean, no one comes right out and says that. Actually, some of them do. But that's the mentality that just has to be broken. Civilization has a footprint.
How did they get all the power? Because I don't know anybody like this. Everybody I know wants to own a house, they want to drive to work, and they want somebody to grow food for them. Who are these people that don't want us to live anymore?
Well, I think some of the donors to these environmental organizations, and they'll never say this, but I think some of them don't want to see California's population grow very much, if at all. They want to kind of keep things the way they are. I think a lot of the billionaire donors, and there's plenty of them, that support these environmentalist organizations, believe, as I said, that a middle-class lifestyle is not sustainable, and they truly believe that.
These people made billions of dollars, and they want to stop the rest of us from having a middle-class lifestyle.
Correct. The thing is, it's wrong. I mean, California, if any place in the world, if any culture in the world can figure out how to create a desalination plant that doesn't hurt the ocean, we can. You know, the Israelis desalinate over 500,000. They're on track to desalinate 1 million acre feet a year on the coast of the Mediterranean where there's no current. You know, this is a really good example worth talking about a little bit, because their California current moves 250 trillion gallons a day across the Southern California coast. And they talk about 55 million gallons a day of desalination brine from the Huntington Beach plant. That's 1/5 millionth of the flow.
That's a drop.
You know, if you know anything about toxicology, you know, and it's just slightly saltier water that's being discharged by a desalination plant into a current that's the only current in the world that's bigger is the Gulf Stream. They are doing this on an order of magnitude greater scale in Israel where there's no current. They're doing it into the Eastern Mediterranean.
All right, Ed, we have to go, but we really appreciate talking to you. Thanks for your input. People can follow his articles at CaliforniaGlobe.com on water abundance. Edward Ring with the California Policy Center. Thanks for coming on. Okay, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.